All right, and I believe the recording has started, and we're going to continue to move on with our Bible study tonight. We just want to pick up where Brother Roseberry left off last Monday. And again, we appreciate Brother Roseberry, his style of teaching. He's very patient in his approach and conveyance of his Bible study of the scriptures, and he breaks it down into such a simple to understand manner. And I hope that I can do the same thing that Brother Roseberry did. He presents a great model for any of our teachers. We want to make this so simple to understand, because that's what the Lord intended, church. He wants us to be able to understand. You know, a lot of people, a lot of churches, and I'll share this real quick before we start. When my father was a little boy in Mexico, the priest there in the little village told him, "Oh, don't try to understand this Bible. It's too complicated. You'll never get it. You'll be confused. You need to come to us, and we'll expound, we'll explain, we'll decipher, we'll do all that." And thank God that that is not the case, church. The Lord says that we can come directly to Him, and we can seek Him in our altar directly, without having to go through another man to confess our sins to a priest. Or no, we can go directly to the Lord and confess our sins to Him, and He's going to guide us and direct us. Praise God. So with that said, let's go ahead and pick up where Brother Roseberry left off. We are right now working on the theme, the new birth. And this, we're getting a lot of this material from the Way of Victory, which Brother David Gray put together here a number of years ago. Brother Roseberry was talking about repentance, and we're just going to touch lightly on that note, on repentance. And in short, what it means is to turn around, to turn away from the old lifestyle and to walk in a new direction, to repent. And Brother Roseberry did such a tremendous job. It's not just remorse. It's not just feeling bad or feeling sorry. That's part of it. That's the outward emotional expression. But there's got to be a real desire to change, to turn away from a life of sin, a life of the past, from deep down within. And that's what repentance is. And some people feel like, "Well, I just can never do it. I can't do that." Well, the Lord's going to help us. And that's why the Lord gives us His word and direction and the Holy Ghost to be able to move forward. So again, that's what Brother Roseberry talked about last week, repentance. Today, we're going to move into the theme of baptism. And of course, and I thought about this as well, I was working on this here earlier today. You know, us as Christians, not even apostolic Pentecostal, but in general, the world of Christendom, Christianity, they understand what baptism is. You know, oh, baptism, that means you get baptized in water. But for those that don't know, that weren't raised in Sunday school, don't understand these things, we really need to break it down into very simple format to understand, well, what is baptism and why is it and why is it necessary? And that's what we want to break down today. And so let's get into it right now. What does baptism mean? Well, in the Bible, the word baptism, the English word, comes from the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. In Spanish, is baptismo. Baptismo. So you can see the similarity there. But what it means is to dip or immerse. Just think about that. Who likes chocolate dipped strawberries? You got to dip the strawberry all the way in the chocolate, you know, to get the good flavor. Well, it's kind of the same way here, where you got to be, it's a dipping process, your immersion process. And of course, the reason I state that is because there are still many churches in the world that believe in baptizing by simply anointing some water on someone's forehead, pouring it over their head, or even sprinkling them with water. And of course, the Bible does not. I have people responding already with some good responses. Yes, this is the truth. It is immersion, not sprinkling, but immersion. And so here's the sad thing, the reality, church. In history, things have changed, and we don't have time to go into too much historical detail here, but we actually talked about it in a Bible study on a Sunday morning here a few months ago, where about 300 to 400 years after the Lord Jesus was resurrected and He's off the scene, now the apostles are teaching and the disciples are carrying forth the message of salvation. 300 to 400 years after that is when things began to change. First of all, they began to change the manner of baptism, which was immersion and being dipped completely in water, to being sprinkled. historical data tells us that the Catholic Church did this for several reasons. One of the reasons was, well, because, you know, how are we going to baptize these babies? You know, they can't hold their breath. They don't know how to be baptized. So they got it in their minds that they needed to sprinkle these babies. Well, the Bible never talks about babies needing to be baptized because they're innocent. They don't have the concept of sin and repentance, etc. So once again, the man's thinking, the enemy, of course, using man's thinking, carnal, natural thinking, came up with this new formula of, well, hey, you just need to just sprinkled them over the forehead, and that is sufficient. And of course, along with that, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but the formula also changed. Before I go there, let's continue to move forward with baptism. One of the first examples we have before the apostles in the book of Acts was in the book of Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. We're going to go ahead and read this. Let's go ahead and read from Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. We're probably going to read a few verses here, because in this segment of verses, the Lord Jesus gives us the example. He is showing us with his own himself being baptized. Let's read verse number 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, that's John the Baptist, to be baptized of him. So the Lord is showing us that, hey, baptism is important. Verse number 14. But John, all right, here comes the natural man responding to the Lord Jesus, but John forbade him. But can you imagine that? John is telling the Lord Jesus, wait a minute, Lord, wait a minute. I have need to be baptized of you. And you're coming to me to ask me to baptize you? And here's what Jesus responds in verse number 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. We've got to let this, we've got to do this, John. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. There it is. Then he suffered him. Then John baptized the Lord Jesus. Verse number 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So here, in these verses, the Lord makes it very clear, baptism is important. This is something that is essential. And he begins here in the book of Matthew to lay the groundwork for the things that are going to be coming afterward. And so of course, we can go ahead and just jump right into the book of Acts for the sake of time. And in the book of Acts, one of the very first verses that we are very, very familiar with, and we should be, and if we're not, we need to memorize this, everyone, is found in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And again, let's lay a little bit of groundwork before we jump into this. Here's the apostles on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost falls for the first time, and there's people speaking in tongues, and of course, people are wondering what's going on. Are these people drunk? What's taking place? Well, that's when Peter gets up and begins to preach and begins to give some history about why this is all happening and how they all came to be. And in verse number 37, let's continue. Let's get to verse number 36. We might even go to a few verses before that. Let's start with verse number 37. There it is. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter, now that you've preached to us and you've shown us the error of our ways, and we killed an innocent man who was actually the anointed one, what do we got to do to be saved? Verse number 38. And we all should be able to quote this together. If you do know it, please quote it with me. Then Peter said unto them, repent. We talked about that last week, what it means to repent. And be baptized, every one of you. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So here is the command, the commission given very, very clearly. It's important to repent. It's important to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We'll be talking about that in the next week, about receiving the Holy Ghost. We're focusing on baptism. So here it is. And this is where we learn that it's important how we are baptized. We already talked about baptism, what it means to be dipped or immersed in water. And I've heard there's some groups that actually just do that without saying anything. They're just being baptized. It's kind of like the baptism of repentance that John baptized with. But here it's made very clear we have to announce the name of Jesus. We have to state the name of Jesus. And we're going to get to a verse right now that talks about the important. Let's read from the same book of Acts, chapter number 4, and we're going to read from verse number 12. Let's start with verse number 11. It reads as follows. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. So what is this talking about? Again, the preacher here, and we believe this is Peter who is talking. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. So talking about the Pharisees, talking about the religious leaders, every time the prophets came to preach, they would begin to lay the groundwork 100 years before, 500 years before, 1,000 years before. Oh, but these religious leaders, they didn't have the spiritual ear to understand, and they began to construct in the wrong way. And what are we talking about here? Well, they did not accept that anointed one we just talked about, the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh. So verse number 4, number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's read this verse slowly one more time. Neither is there salvation in any other. That sounds pretty absolute. That's pretty clear. There's no room, no wiggle room here. There is no salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, if you've never heard this verse, and if you're new to the church and you're just learning, you need to write this verse down. This is a verse, it's a powerful verse that makes it very clear the importance of announcing the name of Jesus. With that said, let's read from Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16. Another example. Here's the apostles preaching the gospel and going to different cities outside of Jerusalem. Now, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In this one verse, it mentions some very important things. What's the purpose of baptism? To wash away our sins. To wash away our sins. You know, we spoke about repentance last week with Brother Roseberry, and of course, repentance is an essential step. It means to turn. That's a decision that we make on our own. But with baptism, as we decide, we make this decision to be baptized, we allow the Lord to begin to do a spiritual work in us. The first step is us making that decision. Lord Jesus, I'm confessing my sins to you. I want to turn around from my old ways. I don't know how to do it, Lord, but here I am making my first step. And in baptism, we're making the decision. Someone said, I think it was Brother Prime, told some of our new converts, hey, the Lord's not going to pick you up and throw you into the baptismal tank. You've got to make the first step. You've got to make the decision to go be baptized. But when you make that step, church, that's where the Lord begins a spiritual process of regeneration inside of you. And there's going to be more of that that's going to come in time. But what a beautiful thing when you think about this. There's something happening here. There is the blood of Jesus that is beginning to be applied to your life now. And the first thing it does is to wash away our sins. And then the Lord is going to begin to work in our mind, upon our spirit. We're going to become a new creature in Christ. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's continue to read here. And someone, Brother Chris Leon, just shouted on a text, amen, exclamation point. And we know that he was just baptized here recently during our lockout period, and he's still on fire. Praise God, Brother Chris and Sister Hannah, amen. All right here, let me stay on track here. Acts chapter 19, let's read another great example. It starts with verse number 1. Here are the apostles preaching. And let's just start reading it. It is self-explanatory. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Now this is very important. Listen to this. And they said, well, we did everything we were supposed to do because John the Baptist, he's the one that baptized Jesus. Boy, that's a statement. Think about that. This man, John the Baptist, baptized the Lord Jesus. So that's how we were baptized. That same John the Baptist baptized us the same way he baptized Jesus. So, boy, you could just say, hey, that's enough. We were baptized by the guy that baptized the Lord Jesus. But look what happens next. And they said, we were baptized unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John, verily, or like Pastor Clark told us, verily means truly or truthfully. John truthfully baptized with the baptism of repentance. Remember, John the Baptist was laying the groundwork. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He was laying the groundwork for what the Lord was going to be bringing to the world next. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost just saying this. That they should believe on him who should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. Oh, what's that name, church? Jesus. So there he was. He was teaching the people. He was giving them the initial ingredients. Hey, I'm baptizing you with the baptism of repentance. And I'm doing this so that you can begin to believe on him who's going to come after me. The one whose shoe latchet I'm not even worthy to untie. I'm going to baptize you with the water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm getting some several texts. I want to read all of them because people are getting excited hearing this. And I hope so, because this is the word of God. This is part of the plan. Boy, hallelujah. Why don't we just thank God right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. Your word is alive, Lord God. And I thank you for touching the minds and the hearts of our people as they're listening to this, because we want everyone to be able to go out and be able to witness and to testify to someone else, Lord God, about the truth of your word and the plan of salvation that you've given to humanity. Praise God. All right, let's continue to move forward. When they heard this, kind of like right now we're hearing this, we're getting all excited. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There it is, church. Another example in the early church. They didn't contest it. They didn't debate. Well, they could have said, like we said earlier, well, wait a minute, hold on. You know, John the Baptist, he baptized the Lord Jesus, and that should be sufficient. Oh, no, it gets better, church. And it gets more clear, more specific. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. You know, I don't want to deviate too much, but think about this. We're going to be talking about the Holy Ghost next week. But think about this. There are some groups, unfortunately, church, that once they're baptized, they feel like that's it. And I don't want to pick on anyone, but I know of some people that are very close to me that used to believe in baptism in the name of Jesus, used to believe in receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. But now they just feel like baptism is sufficient. You don't need to get that other blessing. That's one of the gifts. You don't need that Holy Ghost. Church, we need to have that spirit and that heart that says, I want more. Lord, if there's more, I want it. If there's more from you, Lord, I want it. I want to be hungry for everything the Word of God has to offer me. And this is exactly what happened in this story. Continue to feel the Holy Ghost as we're talking about this, church. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Praise God. And all the men were about 12, and then that 12 grew to a greater number. Praise God. So, once again, we're talking about baptism in the name of Jesus. We talked about the manner of being baptized. It is by immersion, by being dipped or immersed into the water. And now we're talking about the formula, that is in the name of Jesus. So important. Now I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Let's go back to the historical part of this. And I think many of you remember, I've shared with the church here about Dad, you know, a very stout and devout and faithful Roman Catholic. And when Mama converted and went to the church in Imperial Beach under Pastor Picklesheimer, he was very upset with Mom, called her a heretic. You're crazy, Elisa. You've left the mother church, the one true church, for these crazy religious fanatics. So, Dad, you know, very intelligent, analytical man, began to do his own study to prove Mom wrong, right? Well, so proud of Dad, because after about a year and a half, church, of studying the historical record and the Bible, and I remember at night, I was a little guy, 4 or 5 years old, and there he was with all these books on the dinner table, because I'm going to prove my wife wrong. There he was studying late into the evening hours and for days on end, you know, and weeks and months and over a year and a half, I think it was. But at the very end, he had to come back. And again, so proud of him, because he ate his pride. He ate his words. Elisa, I've got to tell you this, but after my research, after my study, after my research, I've come to the conclusion about many different things. One is that his church was not the first church. There was a church that was born in the book of Acts, praise God, the apostolic church. And he learned about baptism. He learned that there was a right way to baptize. Praise God, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost again, church. And that is baptism in the name of Jesus. And so, again, sadly, after that, it was just a few hundred years after that where the enemy, he's going to come in. He's going to try to mess things up and, of course, use his man's natural thinking, and we already started talking about that, which was they began to change the manner of baptism from being immersed to being sprinkled, because of, you know, it made logical sense. These babies, they can't be baptized underwater. Well, the Bible never asked for that. We already mentioned that. And then they began to change the formula from baptizing in the name of Jesus to baptizing in the Trinity, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And many of you may be shocked to hear, but for the first few hundred years, the Catholic Church actually baptized by immersion and in the name of Jesus. But for the reasons that we've already stated, they began to change that. And that's where the enemy began to enter in with a lie. And little by little, it changed dramatically. And now that church, as well as many other Protestant churches who came out of the Catholic Church, and that's why they're called Protestants, because they protested against the Catholic Church, yet they continue to maintain the same doctrine of the Trinity and baptizing some of them by merely sprinkling or pouring water over their heads. Church, I mean, we can go on and on about all this, but the fact of the matter is this: there is a right way to be baptized, and there is a right name to say at baptism, and that is in the name of Jesus. Aren't you thankful, church? Aren't you thankful that we have this truth? Boy, we can go on, but I think that we drove the main points home tonight, church. And if you have any questions, you know, you can ask us and we'll send you these verses. But let's remember, this is the formula. This is the right way to be baptized. And not because I'm just saying it, but because this is what the Word of God states. Why don't we just thank God right now for what we've heard tonight and the anointing that we felt as we've explained this in this Bible study. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the gospel of salvation, Lord God. And we ask you to drive this deep in us, that we would find a love for your Word and a love for your truth, Lord Jesus, because we want to do things the right way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. And with that said, church, we are going to conclude tonight, but we want to remind everyone to be back on our devotion call tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m., where we will be hearing from Sister Chavez. Praise God. With that said, God bless all of you, and have a great night. Amen.